Welcome to Improv 409, the podcast that shines a spotlight on the improv community right here in Toledo, Ohio. Each episode, I'll sit down with local performers to talk about what makes improv exciting, terrifying, hilarious, and life-changing. You'll get behind-the-scenes stories, personal journeys, and maybe a few scenes and laughs along the way. If you've ever wondered what really happens on and off the stage, or if you've thought, improv sounds fun, but I could never, then you're in the right place. You'll get the Improv 411 here on Improv 419. I'm your host, Lindsay, and welcome. On today's episode of Improv 419, we have one of the co-founders of Glass City Improv. It's the wonderful, the hilarious, the perfect Aaron Canary. Hi, Aaron.
Hi.
Thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me. This is so much fun already.
I have been so excited to get you here because, like, I admire your improvisation so much.
Oh, my gosh.
Truly.
I actually want to talk to you about something.
Oh, my goodness.
Before we get started to the questions.
Okay.
And I don't think we've talked about this.
I don't know.
When I was teaching a level one, and it was our showcase, and I had to host it as well as level two, and I hate hosting. So I'm like all like in a tizzy, and my students are in a tizzy, and there's just all this nervous energy. And I go back into the green room before the show, and there was a Ziploc bag full of bracelets, individual bracelets with all our name, all the level one people's names on it, including mine. Have we talked about this?
No.
And I like lost my mind. I was like, who did this? Who made all these bracelets? Oh my God, I need these. It was such a like cool move. And then on top of that, there was like a pile of like rando improv bracelets, like that said like yes and whatever, you know, other stuff about improv. And that was you.
That was me. Yeah.
That was you that did that. But yeah. It like, I was like asking everybody around the theater, like, who did this? And then someone told me it was you. And so I tried emailing you. Did you ever get that email?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No.
Because the email I got, it was like a Netgear one. Or like something yeah. like really old school. I was like, I don't think this is right. But so I emailed you thanking you.
That's very sweet.
But I just want to thank you face to face. That was really, really cool.
I was very happy to do it.
Yeah.
I had planned, it's one of those things where I'm like, I kept telling myself, I'm like, you're about to be 40. You're making friendship bracelets for other adults. I'm like, maybe it's a loser thing to do.
No, it was brilliant.
I'm so glad people liked them.
And there was one for a man named John who ended up leaving the class. And I was going to give it to John Ikes, but then my 4-year-old took it. Well, so now she has the John bracelet.
Well,
so.
I could make her one of her own.
Okay.
Her own name.
Oh my
I would
gosh.
Love
she
to.
She would be your best friend.
Oh, I will absolutely do that.
But anyways, I just want to say thank you. And I want your listeners to know like how cool you are.
Oh, that's very
nice. That was super cool.
Well, I want to thank you because without like you, there wouldn't have been a level one or level two class to begin with.
Okay. Right. I'm really bad at taking compliments. Okay. I'm just going to.
Oh, well, get ready.
Oh, because
they're all going to be on air and I'll be throwing them out.
Okay.
So let's start from the beginning.
Okay.
As I usually do. What was your introduction to improv?
I am the younger sister of two older brothers. So I watched whatever they watched on TV. I had no control over the remote. And so I was I remember it was before Comedy Central. There was a channel called Ha, and it had like retro SNL, like old SNL, Eddie Murphy's and stuff. And I want to say like stand up. I don't know if you ever.
I remember, okay. Yeah.
And that had the British. Whose Line Is It Anyway? And I remember just like loving that show. And I can only remember one woman that was in it, and she was like real petite and had like a blonde mullet and talked real funny, and I was like, God, she is so cool. I wanna be that mulleted British lady when I get older. So yeah, that's kind of, I think a lot of people around here say Whose Line Is It Anyway. I think that's a pretty common doorway in the Midwest, if you're not very close to Chicago. So I'm one of those people as well.
It's interesting how it was like the most widely broadcast form of improv, I think, that's ever existed.
Yeah.
So, like, thankful to that show.
For sure. For sure. But it was, like, a baby Ryan Stiles, you know, and, like, Colin Mockery and stuff. Like, wait, maybe that was the host. I had that bald guy host.
Yeah, there was the British host that was, like, very dry.
Yes, yeah. I'm getting names mixed up. Too many bald people.
There were quite a few.
Yeah. But anyways, yeah, that's where I first came across it.
Are your brothers also funny? Are you the funniest of the bunch?
I'm the funniest of the bunch. Yeah,
that's fair.
Yes.
With, like, starting classes, how were you introduced to those? Like, where'd you find classes at?
So, it was funny. Like, actually, my oldest brother had moved to LA when I was in high school to do music. And he auditioned for the Groundlings. And I think you had to audition in order to take classes. And he made it. But, like, he couldn't afford it because he was just a struggling musician. And that was the moment where I was like, oh, you can, like, take classes in this. So I actually looked up and signed up for Second City Detroit when I was, like, 19. And the day of my first class, there was a snowstorm. And I was, like, living at my mom's house in Toledo. So I didn't go. And I was like, well, I missed the first one. I'm probably just... So I just never went.
Oh, man.
Which totally bums me out.
Yeah.
You know, if I had started at 19, that would have been really rad. But so another decade goes by, and I'm, like, 30, and I ain't got no kids. I ain't got no man. And I was just like, I'm going to do it. If I'm going to do it, I got to do it now. So I just moved to Chicago, and, like, my two best friends are out there. So I had a little bit of a support system and moved out there and started classes, like, the next day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you move out to Chicago specifically?
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty incredible.
Yeah, I didn't have a job or anything. So it was kind of scary, but it was the best decision I had ever made.
What do you think that draw was? Because that's such a big change to be like, I'm moving to Chicago. You hadn't taken an improv class before that.
Yeah. Within that decade between signing up in Detroit, I was always eyeing the website, and I was like, oh, I should take, like, a web class, and I never did. And it had always been this, like, want of mine. And then I was always in Chicago with my two best friends, so I was very familiar with the city. Again, I had, like, my two sisters, basically, there. So I wasn't going alone. So it just kind of felt like the right moment, the right time. And it wasn't too scary other than, like, the money thing.
Right.
And, like, starting improv at Second City, that was kind of scary. But, yeah, it just kind of made sense at that time.
I think that's, like, really incredible to change everything in your life for, it's like a calling almost,
right.
Like a priesthood
right.
of improv.
Yeah, but it had been a calling for, like, over a decade.
Yeah.
You know, that just, I was like, screw it, let's go.
For the Second City classes,
yeah.
What was that experience like?
I mean, life-changing, you know? Like, you're walking into your school and there's portraits of baby Tim Meadows and baby Steve Carell and Bill Murray and stuff. And it's just, like, it's a little overwhelming, but at the same time, it, like, felt right. It's like, oh, yeah, this is what I wanted, you know? This is where I belong. This is, and just the energy in there is so cool. I don't know. Like, it just felt right.
It feels, if I imagine that, it feels like a surreal environment.
It was.
To be standing in.
It was. And, like, you have to go up an escalator to get to the classrooms. And I remember the first time just riding the escalator and being like, what is happening? But then by, like, you know, week 10, it's just another day going into the classroom. But that first day going up the escalator, I was like, oh my God.
Is it a very competitive community there since there's so much improv?
If there was, I didn't feel it. I think in Chicago, there was more like, we're the Second City crowd. We're the IO crowd. We're the annoyance. Like, I think there was, that seemed to be more of, like, the competitiveness of
the
just,
Sharks and the Jets
exactly.
of it all.
Yes. Yes. Again, I didn't get too much into that drama either. I was just there to have fun and be young and in the city. I don't know.
Had you performed in front of an audience much before then?
I was a theater nerd in high school. And a little bit after high school, I think theater was a minor of mine for a little bit. I don't know. So yeah, I had been
familiar with it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you didn't have any fear when it came to performing?
Not really.
That's, wow, what a gift.
I mean, I get nervous before every show, but no, I'm one of those, you know, people that, it's funny, like, I always tell students, right before you go on stage, it's also like when you're waiting in line for a roller coaster.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, you step out on stage, and then you're like, okay, you know, I'm here, we're good, you know, we're going, and I survived, whatever. Like, so it's kind of like that same, yes, there's that fear, but it's also like a fun fear. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a fear towards the thing you want.
Right, yes.
So being on stage is the thing you want to be doing.
So follow that fear, baby.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
When you get nervous now, is there a difference between, like, the beginning days and now?
No. If you've been backstage with me, I fart a lot. I fart a lot backstage before a show. I fart before I get on a roller coaster. No, it's pretty much the same. I mean,
your body reacts.
My body, you know, it's that gut-brain connection.
Yeah.
But I think if I wasn't nervous or if I wasn't farting, like, so there would be something wrong. Like, you use that nervousness and that fear to fuel your energy on stage.
That's nice that you have such an apparent tell. Like,
yes.
Oh, this is getting old for me. I'm
right. Ask my stage partners. So.
Is there, you're teaching now frequently.
Yes.
What was that transition like between performer and teacher?
You know what? It's hard. And I still tell my students, I'm not a good teacher. I don't know how to explain games. I mean, I'm sure you've seen me host a monthly. It's like, I love it.
I think it's perfect.
I love it.
I think it's so much fun.
But I feel like someone like Josh is like a lot more. Like, he's academia. You know what I mean? And I'm not a teacher. but I have fun, and I really just try to focus more on, like, the ensemble and, like, the community of it all. And, you know, and I teach a few things along the way.
You're such a welcoming person.
Yeah.
So all I've ever heard is how comfortable people feel under your tutelage.
Cool.
Yeah, I think it's a really great just environment that you create.
I mean, it's so nerve-wracking to walk into day one, class one, level one. Like, people are scared. And so I just want to be like, come here, babies. Mm-hmm. Like, everything's going to be okay. We're going to have so much fun. Let's just learn each other's names and play dumb games. And usually by the end of, like, the first class, everyone, you know, has a pretty, like, we're kind of like friends, you know? Like, that's my goal.
That's really nice. Have you noticed between the levels that you teach, seeing that change in the students? Like, if there's, like, really uptight ones that are terrified in level one, by level three, they're very loosey-goosey.
Yes. Can I give you an example?
Please.
We all know and love Katie Burkhart.
Yes. She's friend of the pod,
friend
as
of
they
the pod.
Say.
She, you know, she's teaching, she's performing, she's organizing improv festivals. She's amazing. Day one, level one, we're all introducing each other, and it gets to her. And I always say, tell us your name and why you're taking this class. And she's like, I'm Katie. I'm sorry, what? I'm Katie Burkhart, and I want to take this. Like, that, I couldn't even, like, she was so shy, and she wanted to take it so she could, you know, meet more people and him, you know, and, like, look at her now, you know.
Yeah, she's the loveliest.
I know.
She's so sweet.
But, like, I'll still call her out, like, God, I remember you on day one, girl. Like, she was just so shy and so quiet. And
and you two on stage together are,
oh,
like,
God.
Just so wild.
I love playing with her.
It's so good.
She's such a blast. So, yeah, and, you know, that's improv. I mean, you know, like, it just transforms you and it changes you.
Absolutely, it does.
Yeah,
yeah, speaking of things I want to steal from you and Katie,
okay,
is that, like, fearlessness of character. Like, when I watch the monthly and study you two specifically, and, like, you'll step out and just have, like, the full embodiment of, I don't know, a crazy old man or something? Or mm-hmm. how do you find that so quickly?
I don't know. I think a lot of it has to do with who I'm playing with and that trust, right? Because I can come out there with a big character, and if they're not supporting me, if they're not lifting that character up, it's just going to fall flat on my face. But, like, especially with the second half of the monthly, like, we've been playing together for so long that I know that I can go out there as a big old ding-dong.
Yeah.
And they will...
They'll have your back.
They'll, yeah, dong me some more, you know? Like, so I think a lot of it has to do with that trust.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's just so captivating to watch. I think the trust, you can feel it in the room with you guys.
Yeah.
Speaking of the monthly, like, how did that all come about? How was that building process?
So that started with, so it was Nick and myself and, oh my gosh, Martin. And we were teaching at the rep. And I think we just wanted to have more performance opportunities for the students rather than just the showcases. And Nick and I had both, and I think Martin too, had done some plays with Elizabeth Cottle, who worked at the Valentine. Shout out to Elizabeth. She's now in New York doing amazing actor things. And so we just kind of, I think, cornered her and like, hey, let us use Studio A for shows. And she was all about it. And then that turned into, hey, can we use Studio A for classes? And we can be our own thing that I will not name or promote. So yeah, so that's kind of how Glass City Improv started too.
Okay.
Just kind of melded.
And did you bring in the Second City things that you had learned?
Yeah.
That's really fun. Yeah. I guess that we're close now. Is there any advice that you would give to people?
That was it?
Yeah. It goes
so
quickly.
Oh my gosh, that's so fast. Any advice?
Any advice for newcomers, people that are tempted by the craft?
You know, it's just, I feel like the worst thing that's going to happen is you're going to make friends. That's the worst thing that's going to happen to you.
Terrible.
It's the worst, right? And so, I mean, it's going, like, it affects your life on and off stage. We both know that. Everyone that does it knows that. And, like, it's such a cool community, the Toledo Improv community. There's not a bad apple in the bunch, and everyone's just weird. And so just come and get weird and make some friends.
Yeah, join us. One of us.
Come join us.
Well, Erin, would you like to do some improv right now?
Heck yeah.
Okay, our suggestion was potato sorter.
Okay. Ah! Ah!
Oh, no.
Sharp one.
Yeah, they get that way. I don't know why we bred this dang breed of tater.
Oh, God. Today's not my day.
I wish I could help you.
We need to talk to Chuck about this.
It's a hazard.
Yeah. Too many finger pricks from these sharp potatoes.
Yeah. We shouldn't have bred them with cacti.
Whose idea was that?
I would say
Chuck's.
Yeah, of course, that silly man.
What'd you do last weekend?
Well, I wasn't hanging out with Chuck. Sandy.
I'm sorry. He's just got a way about him.
He's a genius.
He smells like dirt and worms.
Don't I know it?
God.
You're so lucky, Sandy.
Thank you,
Jenny. You won't
even
look at me.
But he's poison. He's poison. You know what he always does to me?
Pricks you?
Pricks me.
That man, he is toxic.
I think
you could do better.
I know.
You could do worse.
I know.
So, is it love?
I think. I mean, on my end, I'm always making soups for him. baking potatoes. I'm making French fries. I'm tater totting. I'm doing everything that I think he would want from a potential partner. And some days he's hot.
So sometimes he's a cold potato.
Right.
You're glowing. Honestly, though, like maybe the toxicness is doing you good.
Thank you. You know what? I needed to hear someone say that, Jenny. Thank you.
You're welcome. Like, I don't know if I should get you through the mess or just let you,
could you
swim in it for a while.
No, I've been swimming in it for a while. Go out with Chuck. Go out with Chuck. Let me know what you think, okay?
I would love to try.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like a wingman situation, but like undercover. Secret Service style.
Okay. Like a secret shopper.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
I can do that.
All you got to do, how I originally, I don't want to say seduce, but caught his eye, just fill every crevice that you can think of, purse, pockets, maybe in your bra, with potatoes. He does like that earthy.
Man, see, I just don't know what men like. That's,
I know.
I never knew.
They're a mystery.
All right. So I have to get tubers. They like tubers in every pocket.
Yeah.
I'm nervous. I don't know if I can even approach him.
No. His dry, wrinkly face, it's intimidating. Yeah.
Sun beaten.
Yeah. And he's got
handsome,
like some like weird
growths.
But once you get all past that, he's just Chuck.
I would love to meet just Chuck, the soft Chuck inside.
Mash him up.
Yeah.
Butter him up. Yeah. If
double bake.
Double bake? Wait. Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
I think so.
Should we try a triple bake?
A triple bake.
Let's triple bake Chuck.
You can put that on the menu.
Okay. Let's triple bake. The three of us will go to dinner.
Yeah. You have to introduce me because I don't think he's ever looked my way.
Okay. No, this is all coming to plan. Yes. We'll go to dinner. We'll grab some shepherd's pie.
Okay.
There's a new shepherd's pie joint down on Stickney.
Old man shepherd's pie?
Yeah, old man Stickney shepherd's pie. And we'll just see where it goes.
I would love that.
Okay.
Unseen. I think that was pretty...
That felt good.
Did it? Erin, thank you so much for being here.
Lindsay, thank you for having me. This was a blast. I'm coming back.
Please do. We'll love to have you back.
Love it.
Thank you to WGTE, Voices Around Us, and our producer, Chris Pfeiffer, for making this podcast possible. And of course, thank you to today's guests for sharing their stories and their love of improv. You can find Improv 419 at wgte.org/improv419 or any podcast streaming platform. And finally, thank you to you, the listeners, for tuning in and supporting. Please check out the other wonderful podcasts, part of the Voices Around Us series, and stay tuned for more Improv 419 episodes.
WGTE. Voices Around Us.